Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. In 2006, Phoebe Robinson was a receptionist at New Line Cinemas. Now, 15 years later, she has her own production company with ABC Studios called Tiny Reparations. Okay, from the name of her company, you can see that there is some serious in her funny. Phoebe is an actor, comedian, former host of the hugely popular podcast Two Dope Queens that was turned into an HBO show. The follow-up to her best-selling book, You Can't Touch My Hair and Other Things I Have to Explain, is another take on things Phoebe wants you to know. It's called Please Don't Sit on My Bed in Your Outside Clothes. The book features essays with titles like Yes, I Have Free Time Because I Don't Have Kids, to Bish, That's English, A Tale of an American Dating a Brit, and of course, The Difference Between Inside and Outside Clothes. Kirkus Reviews, their review says, longtime fans will recognize the hilarity and newbies will appreciate the frank thoughtfulness. Joining me now is Phoebe Robinson. Hi, Phoebe.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going really well. I love the title. I know what it means, but for those who may not know or who don't have any home training, what does it mean, please don't sit on my bed in your outside clothes?
Well, you know, having black parents, they are very adamant about the cleanliness of their house. And, you know, every week they were doing like deep cleans on the house, mopping, sweeping, washing baseboards, dusting the whole thing. And they did not want my older brother and I bringing home outside filth and sitting on their pristine furniture that they just spent all this time cleaning and everything. So, they were like, you know, strip down, put on your inside clothes and put the other clothes in the hamper. And that is a life lesson that has really stuck with me, and I didn't realize it was going to until I went to college and went to Pratt Institute, and I got my bedding from Target. Shout out to Room Essentials. That is like the brand of all brands. And, you know, my friends want to come over and you're in a small dorm. There's not really a lot of sitting space and people want to just sit on my bed. And I was like, no. So I would just be like, you can sit on the corner end of the bed with like one butt cheek hanging off. Like, I will allow that. But I was really did not want the New York-ness and the subway and all that stuff on my comforter and everything.
Why did it seem like the right title, sort of the umbrella title for all of the essays or the vibe of the essays in this book?
Yeah, I mean, I love to have a funny title. You know, first book, You Can't Touch My Hair. Second book, Everything's Trash, But It's Okay. And I felt with this book, you know, I write a lot about my parents. And so I thought it'd just be a nice nod to them to have like their, one of their life rules be the title of my book. But I think the book really has this nice balance of like funny and sweet and vulnerable stuff. And I felt like the title hopefully will make you laugh, but also I am like, seriously, don't bring your filth into my world.
You write so lovingly about your parents. You write, the parental units are incredibly giving and selfless people. When the family fell on hard times while I was in high school, my mom walked several miles to and from work every day because they decided that losing their car due to being behind on payments was better than pulling me out of private school halfway through junior year. And as many parents were having to deal with the reality of homeschooling their children while working from home during COVID-19, my dad volunteered to homeschool my charmingly precocious niece to help lessen the stress my brother and sister-in-law had due to their demanding jobs. I know the saying, feelings aren't facts, but I feel like my parents are effing amazing, and there's no convincing me that isn't one of the purest and truest facts. Aside from not sitting on the bed, what is a life lesson that you got from your mom and dad, which has proven so useful to you, especially in show business?
Yeah, I mean, I think they are definitely people who like to persevere and remain positive and hopeful, and not in this sort of toxic positivity where it's like, everything's amazing, everything's awesome. Like, I never feel anything other than pure joy and it's all going to work out. Like, that's ignorant, and I think such an overcorrection from sort of the kind of just being negative about everything. But I think they really believe in hard work. they really believe in, if you want your dreams to come true, don't give up, figure out a way to make it happen, and be patient. And so I think those lessons, anyone, whether you want to get into publishing, want to get into Hollywood, if you want to get into tech, if you want to get into business, anything, you need to have that a sense of humility and a willingness to pay your dues, and also still find a joy in those moments. Because, you know, even when you achieve something, it's not gonna, if you're not enjoying the process and having fun with the journey to getting to where you want to go, then when you arrive, it's not, it's going to be a letdown.
Mm-hmm. My guest, Phoebe Robinson, the name of her new book is Please Don't Sit on My Bed in Your Outside Clothes. It will be out on September 28th, to be exact. So, you know, you write in the book, because we're talking about family, you're really honest about the pressure and expectations you felt about becoming a mother, even when, this is what you wrote, I'd rather be at death's door than spend 5 minutes entertaining my offspring by doing a remix of Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes while my husband beatboxes an 808 beat. Yet, you know, you write about in your late 20s, you know, you sort of felt like maybe you were falling behind what was, quote unquote, expected of a nice girl from the Midwest. How did you overcome that feeling and really stick with your gut?
I think, you know, I spent a lot of time sort of feeling as though I'm not doing the right things, or I should want to be a mom and I don't have that feeling, or why am I not married yet? And I really just sort of had to sit with, okay, look at your life objectively. And my dream ever since I was a teenager was to move to New York and be able to make it in the city. And at that point, yes, I didn't have the career success comedy-wise that I do now, but I was in New York. I was, you know, able to, even though I had debt, I was able to, like, make it work and live here, and I had friends, and I was doing stand-up, and I really was sort of living the dream that I had dreamt about when I was younger. And so because it didn't look like how someone else's dream looked, I was second guessing that, and I had mm-hmm. to go, wait a minute, like, quit thinking about how your life should be measuring up to others, and think about how your life is measuring up to what you want out of it. And so once I had that realization, I was able to be like, yeah, well, I don't really want to have kids anyway, so it's fine that I'm not 27 with two kids, because that's not what I want. And when I started really focusing on what I do want and really making that a priority, my whole outlook changed. And, you know, I was able to be honest with myself and say, yeah, I don't want to have kids, and that's okay, and that doesn't make me any less of a woman, doesn't make me any less a contributing member to society. And I think women need to be allowed the freedom to make their own choices. At the end of the day, I think ultimately that's what feminism should be about. And if we keep living in a world that is sort of penalizing women for not sort of living up to this very specific, narrow sort of idea of what a woman's supposed to be, you're supposed to always be beautiful, you're supposed to always be accommodating, you're supposed to never age, you're supposed to be a wife and a mother, you're supposed to stand to the side, you're not supposed to speak out, you're not supposed to do this, but you're also supposed to be passionate and change the world, but be quiet. You know, all these sort of just like contradictory sort of notions about what womanhood is, I just decided that I don't want to have to put myself through the ringer to try and live up to this idea of a woman that actually does not exist and can't be replicated in actual society. So I think that sort of allowed me to take the pressure off myself and really think about, I want to be happy. Mm-hmm. I want the women in my life to be happy. And a lot of my friends are having kids, and I'm so thrilled for them. And there are other friends who don't have kids, and I'm so happy for them. And that's what I want for every woman in society.
Before we leave this chapter about, yes, I have free time because I don't have kids, the way you open it is wild, because you talk about one of your favorite toys, a baby doll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a baby doll I creatively named Baby, which eventually got decapitated, but still every night, the head and the rest of her body slept side by side with me in bed. Don't ask. Wait, actually you should, because what I just described was a low-key serial killer in training thing to do. Okay, so long story short, one day my brother and I, playing with our various toys, decided to put the doll in the washing machine and her head got chopped off. I was devastated, but because I loved baby so much, I never wanted to replace her. Instead, I would sometimes walk around the house carrying her head in my arms, and everyone in my family acted like this was normal. Do you remember why you loved baby so much?
I really don't. It was such a generic baby doll. Like, you know, I have pictures of her, and it was just like, you know, it was like whatever, but I just loved her. She was so great, and I used to, like, drag her around, and, you know, just, you know, I was very, like, kind of rough and tumble and, like, beat her up a little bit, obviously, because my brother and I accidentally decapitated her. But it was just one of my first toys, and I loved her, and I just didn't want to let her go.
My guest is Phoebe Robinson. The name of her latest book is Please Don't Sit on My Bed in Your Outside Clothes. So you write up in this chapter about what it's like to have your own company, Tiny Reparations, without the usual cliches that we associate with the ideas of leadership. What have you learned about yourself now that you're in charge?
I think what I've learned about myself is I think I'm more compassionate because I have employees, and, you know, it's sort of, and this is not the same as having children, but I could imagine a parent when you have multiple kids, you go, oh, right, my children, each child is different. So I can't approach them in the same way. I can't compare them to each other. I can't expect them to all do the same things or be like, well, this one child did this, so why is this other child doing that? And so I think with my employees, who certainly aren't my children, they're grown adults, but it's the same sort of mindset where you go, okay, each employee has their own strengths and weaknesses. Each wants to approach their work in a different way. Each one needs a communication style that's different. And so that's really something that I've had to work on since I've become a boss, and I started out just having an assistant, and it's grown into what it is now. And another thing that I've learned is just when you're a boss, like, so much is just out of your control that, you know, there's, you could do all the things quote unquote correctly, but there are just going to be peaks and valleys that come along with running a business. And you just have to adjust to that and be malleable. And I've really worked on that. And the other thing is, you know, I'd always be like, oh, we're a team, and we're this and we're that. And, you know, I remember one time I asked my employees, I was like, oh, like on Friday night, why don't we all go out and hang out and, like, go bowling together? And they just stared at me. And I was like, oh,
I'm the boss.
I'm the man. I'm the man. They don't want to hang out with me on a Friday
night.
No,
they do not.
Like, yeah. And so just realizing, like, oh, yes, this is the new normal. I spent so much time just being on my own, and then now having employees be like, yeah, dude, I want space away from you. I'm like, okay, cool, got it.
So in the book, there are some amazing hot takes you have. One is, for the love of God, wear matching underwear. Another was, truly no one cares that your inbox is down to zero, so shut the hell up. And then one is, says, if it's, it's not true love if your partner doesn't get weird with you. What do you mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Got about a minute.
So, in about a minute. Okay. You know, I think everyone, and whatever your relationship, you and your partner, you each have things, you each do things in a specific way that's kind of weird. So sometimes when I try something out and my boyfriend's around, I really want him to be fully present with me in the moment. And what I write about in the book is, he took me to Paris when I was in overseas with him to visit his family in the UK. So he took me to Paris for a couple of days. We stayed in this hotel that had a bidet. I'd never used a bidet before. I was like, this is so crazy. This is, like, amazing. He was like, calm down. And I was like, can you, like, just be here for me with this moment? He's like, yeah, just close the bathroom door and I'll just stand outside. And if you really need me, I'll come in. I was like, no. I need you to be here with me. So I'm like, just stand, like, so he just, like, stood there. It was like making eye contact with me while I was using this bidet. And I was like, someone really has to love you to want to put up with that.
Yes,
so,
they do.
Find you someone who will be down to do something strange like that with you and not judge you.
The name of the book is Please Don't Sit on My Bed in Your Outside Clothes. It is coming out September 28th. It is by Phoebe Robinson. Phoebe, thank you so much for being with us, and congratulations on the book and the boyfriend who's okay with you being weird. That's cool.
Yeah, thank you so much. You've been wonderful. I've had a blast.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.